Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Armour Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Armour Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, snakes, steam engines, and cricket. To try and give you a taster of this, and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
How are you two feeling, chaps?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Sam, you're looking very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Katie?
Good.
Not so much.
No.
We recorded our two-part Christmas special last night, sorry to spoil the illusion. Some of the team partook in various alcoholic beverages throughout the recording.
Yes.
Now, it's funny, isn't it?
Which is why the cupboard smells of alcohol now.
Yeah, and Nigel does have a distinct odour about it today, doesn't it? Sam, you looked a bit dishevelled yesterday before we started recording, and now you look like a new man today.
Yeah, do you want me to like Popeye of the spinach? I'm like that of Carlsberg.
Maybe this should get you one. Yeah. But yes, Kate, you were tugging away the red wine, the Malbec, as you kept shouting last night.
Yes, I was on the Malbec.
Until the wee small hours? Or?
Well, who knows? Who knows what time we left the Woody?
Right, okay.
No one knows.
Producer Emma is nodding and shaking her head. She doesn't know.
I know, because I have a watch on, I went and got the bus.
Oh, well, nice. It's that time of year when people get the bus, isn't it?
I stopped off on the terrace to get a bit of dinner on the way home.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. You had a lovely day out, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Jess isn't with us, not because she's incredibly hungover, because she was actually driving last night.
She's at the hairdressers.
She's taking the day off to go to the hairdressers.
I think she's treating herself.
Is she going for a new look?
Well, we'll see. She's coming in at one with cake.
Comes in with a purple Mohican.
I don't know if that's the look she's going to go for.
Did you say it was her birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sort of. When is her birthday?
Isn't it? Tomorrow.
Today? Tomorrow? Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this should have been a question in our knowing you quiz, which was in the Christmas
special. We really missed a trick with that, and it should have been knowing me, knowing Yule.
Oh, that would have been so good. If only producer Emma had been on the Christmas puns, that would have been all over it, wouldn't it? Anyway, that's the Christmas specials. The first one of them is out on Boxing Day and the second on New Year's Day. Please do keep your eyes peeled for that, or your podcast platforms peeled. Can that be a thing? I don't know. Now, we've got lots to talk about today. Good week, Katie?
Yes, super busy week because we've had the subscriptions. You know, the phones are going crazy from
off,
subscriptions.
They're ringing off the hook,
aren't
they?
They are.
27% off your cover price.
Exactly. £41.60.
For a year.
52 vouchers for the Isle of Man Examiner or the Manx Independent.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk down to your local newsagent.
A lot of people get them as gifts, have you?
Yeah, you can give it as a gift. We can send it to them with a little note.
Mm, nice. Do you make up the note? No.
No. Usually people do specify what they wanted to say. I don't just... Right. A secret admirer.
Sam, good week?
Yeah, it's been a good week. This is pretty much actually the first day I'm actually in work.
So. Yes, yeah, so you have been off. You came in yesterday afternoon slightly dishevelled, but
yeah.
Then you've sort of ridden that wave, haven't you, and come back in today?
Yeah, well, you know, I was down in the big city.
Castletown.
Yeah. And come home and spent 2 days dossing about playing FIFA.
You did on the Christmas special. You do reveal that you'd had a challenging day playing 4 hours of FIFA.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got Sunderland in the semi-final of the FA Cup and pushing for promotion.
FIFA 20?
Yeah.
Oh, very exciting. Excuse me. Right. Any correspondence this week, Katie?
We have had a very exciting.
Of course, yes. I'd forgotten about this.
From your son?
Yes, he's quite advanced for 7 weeks. He knows where the postbox is.
But no, it was very exciting when we got this the other day, although I think producer Emma was quite freaked out because she didn't know who the baby was.
Yeah, they all look the same at this age, to be fair.
Which is why is someone sending us a subscriber baby, or we didn't know what was happening.
This is little Hector in his bath.
He's got like a little Santa-esque beard of bubbles.
Yeah.
And then on the back, where we do find out it is from Hector, he's got his little Isle of Man motorbike.
Yeah, he looks like a young Connor Cummins in that.
Yeah.
A very young Connor Cummins. He's quite tall, though, to be fair, Hector. So, I mean, you know, 2 metre man could be within touching distance, as it were.
Yeah, some very cute pictures. And he says, thank you very much for my lovely gifts and cards.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great Christmas, Hector.
Yes. Yeah. He meant every word. Did we have any other Christmas cards for us this week? You're looking around desperately, and that suggests no.
I had one.
Oh!
I got sent one by the Scouts.
That's nice.
You know, obviously did their Jamboree stuff, yeah. done like coverage like that, fundraising all year.
Yeah,
they sent us one with. They actually used our picture for it, which was quite funny.
Was it a John Madrill picture?
No, it was a Dave one.
Oh.
I mean, to be fair, it was like we had a picture done, and we had that typical thing you get these days where all the parents started taking pictures as well. So it was a picture that was posed for us, but and they've all like Photoshop Santa hats on all of them.
What was the personal message inside?
It was a big long one about, you know, thanks for the support during the year. Without community support, we couldn't have done what we did, and hope you all have a Merry Christmas. So,
oh, yeah. And was there a badge? A report? A badge?
No.
No.
I should have asked about that.
Oh, okay. We've just had Secret Santa in the office. Everyone happy with what they got? I got some beers. I'm well chuffed with that.
I know you got yours.
Oh, thanks very much.
I'm surprised.
Oh.
They did listen to...
Oh, okay. So some helpful advice. Katie, what did you get?
I got a book about unforgettable experiences to have before you die.
Oh, okay.
Which is good, because I was looking through it, and I've done quite a few of them, so I'm like, oh, that's good. I can die knowing I have done
vaguely
some
happy.
I was gonna say, unforgettable that's experiences. Quite grim in a sense, isn't it? Because you know that by using that book, you're already like a tenth of the way through your life. Probably a lot further.
Well, I like to be reminded of my own immortality. Okay. No, mortality.
Keep it light, guys. It's just Christmas, you know. Sam, what did you get?
I got a cat a day calendar.
Oh!
Did you?
Yeah, I'm buzzing about that.
Have you had a quick flick through?
No, that would spoil the magic.
Oh, God. My mum always gets me an Everton calendar for Christmas. And I always flick through, she's in it. Because usually there's one of them sold in January. So.
Yeah.
So you won't have that problem with the cats. So,
no.
You wouldn't think, anyway.
I'd be amazed if halfway through one of them became a dog.
That would be like, where's Wally, wouldn't it? Let's crack on then. This first story is probably as ludicrous as a dog in a cat calendar. I saw that this was on the front page of the Examiner this week, and it is one of the most bizarre stories of the year, I'd say, Sam. It was the fact there was a snake found in a Co-op Christmas wreath.
Yeah, well, this is a weird one, because being away, the first time I read this is when I came in on Friday morning, because I didn't, despite, you know, being able to get the online pictures, the online editions,
yep.
I didn't do that. I was, you know, having some me time. So when I got back and read it, and I was just like, this is, yeah, quite the maddest story I've seen in a while, which was the Gaskell family,
mm-hmm.
who bought an £8 wreath in the Co-op in Castletown, and when they got home, they said it smelled like rotten fish, which...
A bit like Nigel does today.
Yeah. But unlike us, who just had the lingering smell of beer and wine, they had a dead snake.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was Carl Gaskell speaking to the Examiner about that, and he said that he smelled it and suddenly thought, oh, it could be poisonous. Well, it depends where it come from.
Right.
So we got onto the Natural History Museum.
Right.
Who, my only knowledge of them is from Paddington, the film, where they've refused to believe about the talking bears in deepest, darkest Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that much about them.
Right.
But they seem like a good bunch of chaps and lasses. So they went, don't worry, it's not poisonous, it's a grass snake, it's fine. But yeah, then the family have gone, well, it's a bit worrying, because it's like, you know, they said it was the first wreath that they bought.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going, oh, it's a bit unlucky that then, isn't it? So they're not looking to buy one again now.
So do we think that...
They've been put off buying wreaths in the future.
Snake crawled into the wreath and then died.
Don't know.
Or was it dead? And that would mean someone put it in it.
But don't they grow in... How do they grow? How do they grow wreaths?
Well, you don't really, do you? You put it together. It's like an arrangement.
Yeah, it's like an arrangement.
There was a thing from the history lesson, the type of plant that it was made of, they are likely to sleep in anyway. So it seems that they could have been asleep and then they've been killed. And
yeah, but
Producer Emma's now terrified because she's got a wreath.
Probably, the wreaths are probably like preserved or frozen in some way, so they last longer than they would in natural circumstance. So maybe that's what did for the snake.
Yeah.
Would you sniff your wreath? As it were.
Well, I will now.
Yeah.
So, after this story.
So, my follow-up question, I know you didn't write this one, would be, did they get a refund?
Yeah, they did. Co-op were dealing with compensation for them, and they've apologised, of course, and they've gone back to their suppliers to find out how this has happened, because obviously the staff in the Castletown Co-op are not experienced snake handlers.
I can imagine.
So they were a bit surprised themselves, actually.
Well, I'm looking forward to the forthcoming Samuel L. Jackson film, Snakes in a Wreath. Which I'm sure will be the festive edition of, obviously, Snakes on a Plane and then Snakes on a Train.
I love Snakes on a Plane. It's such an awful film. Do you know how it came about? It was literally guys sat around going, what's the worst idea for a film? And somebody said Snakes on a Plane, which is actually quite good. And that's how they came up with the film.
Well, now they've got snakes on a wreath to look Fantastic. Forward to. Yeah.
I once found slugs in my pizza.
What? I sometimes find slugs in the dishwasher.
What?
Yeah, occasionally they're in the like on the thing. So the slugs in the pizza, actually. Let's go back to this one.
So I was eating a pizza and it had rocket on it. So obviously they hadn't washed the salad before they put...
Were you out eating this?
Yes, I was out at dinner. And the worst thing was my friend, who's vegetarian, was...
The cheap one.
Well, at the end, she was like... No, he was like, what meat did you have on the pizza? And I was like, there wasn't meat on the pizza. And he's like, what's this then? And he poked it and there was a slug, like, and... We didn't know if we've eaten some or...
Do you what?
And the restaurant's way of dealing with it was to give us
more
food. And more slugs. Like, but we don't know if they're covered in slugs.
So have you ever eaten snail?
Yes.
No, snails are very nice.
They're delicious in like a nice garlic
broth. I reckon
broth.
Slug in a garlic broth would be all right. It'd be nice.
I just think it would be too much like slimy.
Moving on from slugs and snakes to steam engines, Sam. You're one of your favourite topics.
This is Sutherland, which was the original engine for the railway built by a Peacock in Manchester. So that was for July 1873, which, to put that in context, is about half as long as John Madgell's been photographing the Isle. It ran the first line to Peel, and it stayed in service till 1964, being maintained that for up to then. And then it was withdrawn, and it went into the museum in 1975, but then come back out in 1998 for the Steam 125 anniversary, and now they've decided that they're going to put the original engine back in the museum as like the centrepiece of it. So it's going to be like the big yay, like that.
Big yay.
It's going to be the centrepiece of the display, right. Basically. Which, in a sense, is quite cool in a way. We do like steam train stories and editorial.
So that's quite it must be quite hard to get a steam engine into a building.
Well, not with the museum, because it's got the... If you ever see it put out, it's got the tracks that run straight in.
It has, you're right, yeah.
Actually makes it very interesting is that where it looks like it's going to go, there's already a train on that side, which they can't just drive out, because it's been there for a very long time, but also it's not on a track which is connected. So they're going to have to take the royal carriages out down at Port Erin and take them up the station, then bring a crane into the museum and lift the train that's there in now out, take that out, bring that one in, lift the crane back. It's going to be like a week-long operation. Well, John Madgell's sort of like an expert on these things, so he reckons it's quite a long...
I think he will stand there with his camera overseeing it and flowing out remarks.
I'm thinking of taking days off and just getting cups of tea and sitting down at the cafe down there. It's a lovely cafe, actually.
So when will this be in place?
It'll be hopefully in place to start the season next year, because they want to have
to the uneducated, when
about March, April sort of time.
March, April.
But yeah, they want, because at the minute it's just sat in the carriage shed down at Port Erin, because they don't want to put it in the museum because they've had all this paint work done on it.
Right.
A guy from across come to do that, and then two guys from the Armour and Steam Railway Association, the People's Front of Judea. There's two different organisations which support the railway, and you have to be careful.
Do you have a foot in either camp, or
are you loyal to one?
We have friends in each.
Oh.
But yeah, so. They had their members, Jeffrey Kelly and George Quayle. They've did all like, the brass work and that, and got all that sorted, and basically everything that didn't require the expert painting skills that you need to paint a steam engine, because obviously it's a very old piece of equipment. There's another two that they've actually got in Douglas, but they can't get into them because they're covered in asbestos, which is why they're abandoned down the back of the shed with a cloth over them. Not a cloth, but they're contained.
Just put a blanket over it.
Yeah.
So what can they be? Asbestos?
They can do. It's just quite a lump. You hear about buildings having asbestos taken out. It's a lengthy process.
Is it in the side of the boiler? Is it?
They were built in like that. And yeah, so that's a nice little story that we thought we'd go with this week.
So if you want to read more about the steam getting steaming down in Port Erin, please do on page 17 of the Examiner, where we'll find out more trinkets of information, such as when the season starts, how they're going to get the engine in there and such like. So Sutherland, wasn't it?
Sutherland, yeah.
The Donald Sutherland. The look Sam's just giving me. Because
that Keith Sutherland's dad?
Yes, it is. You can't joke around about trains around Sam, can you?
No, well, they're not trains, they're engines. Or locomotives, right? The train is the entire component.
Okay, we're moving on.
It's me schooled.
Yeah, it is.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story, it comes to us from 9,000 miles away, in Western Australia to be precise. And it's the story of George Burrows, the Finch Hill batsman, who is now playing cricket in Australia this season. You're laughing, Sam, aren't you?
I was just resisting the urge to go, g'day.
G'day. We'll have to see if he comes back with an Australian accent. Yeah, but we have had several Australian cricketers move to the island and play their cricket over here. But it's very rare that a Manxman goes the opposite direction. And George seems to be doing all right out there. He scored at 102 at the weekend. It was actually this side's first century in 8 years, which is quite impressive. Now, I thought they can't be very good if, you know, they don't score centuries that often. But I was looking at the league statistics, and it seems that centuries are quite rare in their 50-over games over there. So,
what sort of, like, class or division is that?
Well, he's playing in Grade A cricket, and it's in a place called near Perth, 370 miles, near Perth, just 370 miles away. It's a this mining town called Kuguri, which is actually in the middle of nowhere.
It
makes it look Foxdale look cosmopolitan by the look of it. So, but yeah, so he's doing well though. There's a full story on that's on the back of the Manx Independent. He's coming back for the Manx season, which starts it coincides with training season actually at the start or the end of March, start of April.
So is it like sort of semi-pro sort of thing? Is it amateur?
Well, he has been. The club. It's actually quite a funny story. The club found him on the internet because of his stats over here. So he scored over 2,000 runs for Finch Hill last season and various other clubs in the Isle of Man. And they picked it up on what the thing called Play Cricket, which is like a database of cricket players. They paid for him to go to all the way out there. They've provided him. He's working for the local council's park department in the day and doing a bit of coaching with the club. And then he, is playing at cricket weekend and I think he plays in midweek league as well. A great experience, one that he would like to repeat in the future. But
yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so the full story on that's on the back of the Manx Independent this week, which is in shops now, or of course available on Digital Editions tab, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's a really good Manx Independent this week. All Manx Independents are good Manx Independents, but this week is especially good because of Little Stars.
Yes, the nativity features.
Yes, so we have pages of children's nativity plays.
Can we call them nativities, though? Because some of them are like, I saw two aliens in one of the pictures.
Festive productions.
No, because if you remember, Chris DiBerto spoke about aliens coming to the birth of Christ. A spaceman came travelling.
Oh yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Chris DiBerg. He liked him Albeck, didn't he?
And then you had...
did he?
I think so.
As Love Actually established, there was crabs at the birth of the baby Jesus.
Yes, there were.
So talk about crabs in the Christmas special.
Maybe talk about them too much.
Yeah, maybe too much. They'll probably be edited out by the time you hear it anyway. But there you go. Right, this week in history, guys, we actually go back to a paper that was produced on Christmas Day itself, 1958, the Isle of Man Examiner, from Thursday, December 25th. And you can tell it's produced on Christmas Day because there's a lot of big pictures.
They've rushed it. Not rushed it, but you know, they haven't exactly gone for big, long stories, have they, Katie?
And some of the stories...
No.
some of the stories themselves are a little bit dubious, to say the least. What stood out for you on the front of the Examiner this week?
Well, I like the motto for the new year, which was... It was just... it's a weird one, because it just goes on about, like, you know, this defeatist attitude which is abroad. Which was like a reverend who was re-elected chairman of the general committee of the June effort on Monday. No idea what the June effort is.
No.
But they just sort of... It just seems like a small row that has happened between a couple of people, and they've gone, yeah, that'll do. It's Christmas. Get it on the page.
Yeah, so essentially it was a... It sounds like a bit like an AGM. And this is the headline news that the Reverend Reed has said the new motto will be, they can because they know they can. Well, there you go. It is a very dubious news week. There's also, did you see the formation of an archery and fencing club? That was the second lead story.
I particularly love film projector for high school. Approval to the purchase of a film projector for the Douglas High School for boys was given by members of the Education Authority. That's front page news.
Yeah, and the fact that the manager of the entertainment section at the Palace was... moving to the Villa Marina.
Big move, big transfer.
Yeah.
But have you noticed as well, there's an advert for the Isle of Man Examiner annual.
Yeah, which I thought is something...
we can bring back.
Yeah, sales and promotions.
We've got some of them, haven't we?
Yes.
by advertising. We've got a collection of some of them.
For you kids that are too young to remember annuals, it's like a book. With this one, apparently had data including tide tables and details of numerous local organisations. But it was like a hardback, wasn't it? And then it sort of also, I think it detailed some of the things that had been happening in the year before, hadn't it?
It was like a look back, but, yeah, wasn't like, it? Like a review. Yeah.
So, that was the don't miss your 1959 Alamein Examiner. It was also, did you see the weekend's football fixtures?
Yeah, I have seen that. The fixtures that are on for, so this would have been Friday was the Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So there wasn't the Railway Cup final back then, of course.
No, and it's the
Did it been established then?
But the Railway Cup had been established, but it was traditionally played towards the end of the season. So.
Oh, right.
The Boxing Day matches were the first teams, and then the Combis all played on Saturday, which was quite interesting. There was also a story about how the TT organisers, the ACU, and the Tourist Board were looking to try and secure a better broadcast deal for the 1959 races.
Do you ever get the feeling that some stories just keep coming back around? I think this must be about the fourth or fifth decade we've looked at where there's been better coverage planned for the TT.
Yeah, and it says here that they've agreed that the BBC will give it much greater coverage on the sound programme. Just generic sound programme. And now, of course, we have BBC Sounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my favourite thing, actually, is it shows the time here. You got the one for next week's publishing. The Examiner will be published next Wednesday morning, New Year's Eve. So they actually brought it forward, not for Christmas Day. No, Scrooge at the time was there going, you'll work Christmas Day, that's what you'll do. But New Year's Day, now you can have that off, lads. Come in a day early. So they do that.
I also said that advertisers should provide changes in copy no later than next Tuesday morning.
Yeah, which is great because it just shows that they had to advertise the fact that advertisers had to contact them because you couldn't just ring everybody up because nobody had a phone.
Exactly. On the front page, do you see the top picture, Katie? I thought, again, something we could maybe bring back.
The giant cracker.
Yeah, but did you see who it is?
Young Folks.
Yeah, the Examiner Young Folk Leaguers. So, apparently, the Examiner had a Young Folks Leaguers group.
Was it like a cult?
Like a cult. Maybe not a cult, but maybe not the word I use, but looks like some sort of club.
Really? What? We need to find out. Maybe if we read the annuals, we'll find out what they did.
The annuals are in here, in Nigel somewhere.
Because it does look like their main task was carrying giant crackers around town.
Yeah, see at the back, underneath those. They're in. Apparently, producer Emma is pointing to another room, so they must be next door. Okay. Well, yeah, we're going to have a look and see if we can find any of them. Right, so that was the This Week in History. In 1958, Christmas Day 1958, the Examiner of that very... Do you reckon they sold many that day?
I don't know, because the only person I ever see out on Christmas morning is that kid in Scrooge who shouts, "Today is Christmas Day!" And then they all go off and sing merrily and meet the penguins.
You boy, what day is this? Christmas Day, sir!
Me, sir! Is he still living at home, is he?
Yeah. He's still plodding about. It's weird, actually. All this time, his voice has never changed.
He must be in his 80s now, isn't he?
Yeah. He's still up there, though, every morning, just in case any, evil moneylenders have had a visit from three ghosts overnight.
Not as big as a turkey yet. Okay, the final Manx word of the week of the decade, nonetheless. I hope it's a belter.
Yeah, it's one we actually all know. I think.
Ngugiraya?
No, that's last week's answer.
Oh, yeah.
Ours is Nollet Genel.
Oh, Nollet Genel, yeah, I know that one. It means well done, doesn't it?
It means Merry Halloween.
Merry Halloween, right. Nollet Genel, obviously, it's a very commonplace Manx phrase.
Yeah, for very appropriate, given that it is Christmas next week.
So last week, though, we had Ngugiraya.
We did, and I told you it was seasonal, and it literally was. It meant winter.
So do we need to have the Culture of Annan boys run Nollet Genel, or are we all fairly confident with...
Yeah, let's hear Nollet Genel from Culture of Annan.
Nollet Genel.
Right, we've also been dipping our toes in Manx traditions in recent weeks.
We have, because we're... How do you say the word's gone? We're saving the Anglo-Manx phrases.
Yeah, we're trying to eke them out, aren't we, for a bit longer.
Because
we were up to I already, weren't we?
Yes.
And we've only got the rest of the letters to come, so... So we had the Mollig bands a couple of weeks ago, which was the lads with the pig bladders on sticks that went and house invaded or mugged people in the streets.
You've got a very violent version of that story, I guess.
It's probably a 2019 version, really.
More like a nice, jolly sing-song around town.
So what's your Manx tradition this week?
Okay, so because we've got Boxing Day coming up,
mm-hmm.
when our Christmas specials are out, the first one.
Yeah.
But so obviously something else Manx people like to do on Boxing Day is hunt the wren.
They do?
They do. And I've been reading about where that actually came from.
Okay.
And do you know where it came from?
Was it someone called Wren and he would bid like maybe Nick something and they were trying to hunt them? No.
No.
I do know this, and Mike Wade told me about it. It was something to do with an evil spirit.
Kind of, yeah. It was basically there was a witch called Tehi Tegi, and she was driving people crazy, basically, because she was kind of distracting all the men. She seemed like a bit of a harlot.
Oh.
And so the men weren't farming or fishing. The women were starving. The women were just like, oh, I've had enough of this. Like, she's got to be stopped. So the women of the island went to Mananin and said, like, what can you do about Tehi Tegi? Like, you've got to get rid of this woman. She's, you know, we're starving here. So Mananin was like, you know what? I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And he basically banished Tehi Tegi from the island. But he said, you can return every St. Stephen's Day.
Right, which is Boxing Day.
But you can only return as a wren, and the local people can hunt you with sticks.
So, hang on, wrens are quite small birds,
they're,
aren't they?
Yes.
So do you think a lot of wrens have been bludgeoned over the years, maybe needlessly?
Well, I mean, now, when people hunt the wren, they don't actually go out and bludgeon local birds. They
are you
tend
sure
to
about that?
Yes, they tend to dance, do. Make it more of a nice, fun event with dancing.
Do they shout, be away with your Tegi Tegi?
I don't know. I've never hunted the wren.
Have you, Sam?
No.
A lot of football clubs do it, and sports clubs.
Do they do the dance?
Yeah, because apparently one of the traditions is that you can, I think there's alcohol involved, where if you go around your local community or village or whatever, and as people, you're hunting Tegi Tegi, you're doing a good thing, they give you a drink to put you, send you on your way, so you continue to find the wren.
Yeah. It looks fun. I was watching on Culture Van, and they have a video from a hunt the wren they did in Port St. Mary.
Right.
And it looks like great fun. And they were saying in the video, you know, people see what they're doing and just go and join them. And
free for all.
Exactly. It just looked fun.
That's a bit more positive than the Mollag bands. Although I am worried about wrens getting bludgeoned by sticks. A lot of things involve sticks in Manx culture, isn't it?
Yeah. We do like a good stick.
Mm. Right. Which could we want next week?
Yeah, Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgot about that.
My birthday.
Your birth, 28th?
Yeah. There's Liverpool Leicester on Boxing Day.
Okay. What? Who's carrying that?
Well, I mean, Brendan Rodgers and Jamie Vardy are carrying Leicester, but... I don't know. What have we got coming up for the paper
next
week?
Work-wise, we've got a joint issue.
Yes,
out
that's a very good
on
point.
Monday.
So it's out earlier than usual.
Monday the 23rd. Yeah. It's the joint issue of the Examiner Independent.
So,
we're working Sunday, aren't we?
Yeah, I am. Oh,
are
you? Nice.
I'm going to do my news bills. I might take them home, but I get very high off the pens. I might do them here.
I always worry about it, because whenever you open them, it's just sort of like, wow. Yeah.
So that is out in the shops Monday.
That'll be in all shops Monday.
And then
online.
Our next edition... After that, we've got the courier out at the back end of the week, I think.
The courier will be out on the Friday at your house as usual. And then the following week, we've got some more changes.
Yes. I think the Examiner's back on the Monday. Oh, no, that's on the Sunday again, isn't it? We're printing on Sunday, so that'll be in the shops on Monday.
Yep. We're swapping days round.
Oh.
So, Thursday will be courier day.
The following Thursday, yeah.
Friday will be independent day.
Oh, wow, my head's scrambled. But just to save you all the hassle, just keep going on digital editions on the tabs. It'll be there, won't it?
Yeah.
Iointoday.co.im. Anything else? Was that it for before?
What's Santa bringing you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've been good this year.
Will you get coal?
Possibly.
Ooh.
But then I could put it in a steam engine.
Oh,
hey.
Right, remember, if you want to get in touch with us, please do at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to send us a postcard, it's probably a bit late now, but there you
go. I've sent one from Vienna. That should be on its way.
Christmas card. But please do send postcards as well if you're away over the festive period. Please do to IOM News Podcast Team, Alaman Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED. Right, I think that's about it. Please do listen to our Christmas specials. First one's out on Boxing Day. The second one is out on New Year's Day. Notice the deterioration in
we did drink standard. Quite a lot of alcohol during it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does somewhat fall off a cliff in the second episode.
I thought I was great.
You keep telling yourself that.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Bye for now.